The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Hello, my friends. Welcome to the final edition of The Undercurrent for this season. I'm your host, Tara Sloan, as always. And it is only fitting, as the Stanley Cup is close to being hoisted and we can officially say goodbye to the 23-24 season, one that Sharks fans would, for the most part, like to forget, that we wrap things up here with a look at where all this is heading. And truly, the only person who can point us in that direction is Sharks GM Mike Greer. So, in between new signings, getting ready for the draft, searching for a new head coach, suffice it to say this is a very busy man. Mike did have a chance to sit down with me. We aired part of this interview on our video series, The Deep, but now you'll hear the full unedited interview. So, soak it in, Sharks fans. Here is General Manager Mike Greer.
So, Mike, not that you've had a ton of time probably to reflect because it's such a busy period for you, but you're heading into your third year now as GM. How would you summarize your first two seasons?
I think it's been, a lot of learning for me. There's been a lot of experience, good and bad, but it's been enjoyable. I've got a good staff that's very helpful, and it's been ups and downs and things like that. But I've enjoyed it. It's been challenging, but I've enjoyed it.
Can you identify specific learnings?
I think that's kind of my biggest takeaway, I think, of these first 2 years is just learning from mistakes I've made or see other teams might make and trying to kind of take notes on it and go from there and try and be better. So it's... I think there's a lot that goes into it on the ice and managing off the ice and things like that I've had to kind of learn and learn lessons from.
Trial by fire, really.
Yeah,
Do you feel like the same person?
It's from where I am now until when I first got the job, I feel much more comfortable and confident in, what we're doing as a group and organization, and I think we're kind of trending in the right direction, I guess.
Before this season started, I think there was a little bit of hesitation to say the word rebuild. We were calling it a retool or using different, maybe veiled language, and then it became apparent that it's a real rebuild. Did you know that heading into this season? Was that the plan?
Yeah, I would think so. I think when I first got the job, the idea was to kind of see what the group could do. Maybe they had another run in them, but as that season started off not great 2 years ago, and it kind of became apparent we were going to have to make some decisions on Timo and some of the other guys, and then Eric followed in the off season, and once that domino went, I think it kind of felt like this past year was going to be a tough season. You don't replace players like Timo and especially Eric, someone who drove offense. So at the rate he did from the back end, we kind of knew it was going to be a tough year last year. It was ended up being probably worse than I expected and the group expected. I think it's something we'll kind of learn from and move on from. And, some of our young players got good experience from it. It's to go through this experience, I think, will help them grow as players and as people. And we kind of lucked out with the lottery, and that's kind of the silver lining of it all.
Okay, well, let's move to that. First of all, I know how, excited I was. I know that, all Sharks fans, we were all holding our breath. What did you experience leading up to that moment when the ball dropped?
I know. It was interesting because no one was moving. As you start from 16 up, everyone's just slotted where they're supposed to be. So once we got into the top five, got started to get a little bit nervous because I'm like, at some point it's got to change. Something's gonna move and someone's gonna jump. But you know, when they turned over the card and saw the logo, then you know, obviously I was thrilled.
Were you like jumping up and down inside?
You know, I was nervous right up until then, so you know, my heart was beating a little bit. But yeah, you know, I was excited, but tried to stay calm.
I mean, I'm not sure if there's any point thinking of what could have been, but I mean, how much does that change, I guess, the focus of this team if you ended up at number two or three?
I don't know how much it would have changed. Probably changed a little bit just for the fact that of who Macklin is and the type of player in person he is, actually. I think the person he is kind of gets overlooked a little bit. He's someone who can drive your culture and push your teammates and everyone to be better. But, you know, if we weren't fortunate, you know, we would have still got a good player at two, and you know, we're happy with the group of prospects we have coming up. So, but, you know, to potentially look down the line and think that you have four good young centers with, you know, Macklin and Will, then Bystad and Edstrom, it's a pretty cool and a pretty unique to have that depth of young players, so we're excited.
Okay, so safe to say Macklin's going first overall.
probably safe to say.
Okay.
Scotty told me not to say it, but.
Right, of course. You have to protect extenuating circumstances.
Yeah.
But he would look good in a Sharks uniform?
He would look good in a Sharks uniform, yeah.
Okay. You also have the 14th overall pick. You have four picks, actually, in the first 42 selections. What kind of caliber of players can you get in those top rounds?
Yeah, I mean, we're excited about it, not only to have the first pick, but we think we'll get a really good player at 14. And then, you know, as you saw last year, you know, we were able to get Kasper Holtonen early in the second. And I think everyone's seen the type of year he had. So we think we can get four, you know, guys that hopefully one day will all be part of our kind of the next core players coming up.
You mentioned, you know, four centers that you've got coming down the line. So does that mean when you're looking at these draft picks, are you drafting for position or you're drafting for best player available?
The way we kind of do it, it's kind of best player. Mm-hmm. But that being said, you know, especially once you get out of that kind of the top 5 to 10, you know, position will come into a little bit, size might come into it too. Depending what we have already here with the Sharks and what we have and what we have in the prospect pool. So all those little things will kind of come into it as we tweak our board leading up to the draft. But once we're actually on the floor, the board will be set, and for the most part it'll be best player.
So you mentioned Will Smith. Let's talk about Will. First of all, he's coming here. So, you know, that was another thing that Sharks fans were wondering about. Would he go back for another shot at winning a championship? What got him here? They're excited too.
They're excited. You know, I think Will had a great year. It's kind of been a whirlwind for him, from winning the U18 gold to winning World Junior gold, and then you know, having the season he had at BC and one game away from a national championship. So I think what got Will here is he's a super competitive kid. I mean, everyone sees the talent and the skill and the brain, but he might not show it like other people show it, but he's highly competitive, and I think he wants to play against the best players, and I think he believes he's right there with the top players in his, not only his age, but in the league. So I think that was the main thing. I think he wanted to challenge himself, but you know, from our standpoint, we wanted to make sure he was comfortable, his family was comfortable, everyone was comfortable, and with him and his decision of turning pro.
Did he take any convincing?
I don't know. You'll have to ask him. He's not always easy to read with some of that stuff. We had good conversations with him and his agent and his family. It was good back and forth, good dialogue. So maybe he needed a little bit convincing, but like I said, I think his competitiveness at the end of the day is probably what won out.
Let's talk about Luca Cagnoni, who's another player from the Portland Winterhawks, a defenseman who you just signed. So, you know, with all the hype of Macklin and Will, maybe a little bit under the radar, but he's a very strong player. What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, Luke had, he had an all-time great season for Portland. And I think his game's really matured. I mean, offensively, he's a little bit undersized, obviously, but he's got a build to him. You know, even though he's, you know, just about 5'10", he's about almost 190 pounds. So there's, you know, he's got some build, especially his lower body. But he's an offensive defenseman, real high IQ, moves the puck well, can shoot it. So he brings us a different element that we don't have in our prospect pool right now. So we're excited about him. I got to give credit to Todd Marchand and Lucas Bizar, development coaches, for they kind of had a good heart-to-heart with him. And I don't know if it was late November or December, just about if he wants to have a chance to play in the NHL, he's going to have to take defending more serious and defend a little bit harder. And to Lucas' credit, he kind of bought in. And the last half of the year, he was still putting up tons of points, but he really dug in on the defensive side and became a good penalty killer for him and took the message to heart. And, you know, that was the growth we needed to see from him to sign him and bring him into the organization. So we're excited.
When it comes to players like Celebrini, like Will Smith, there's a lot of hype and there's a lot of pressure that comes with the hype. How do you support those young players who are hyped in that way? How do you support them and make sure that they're set up to succeed?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And I think it's very important that we realize that these are, you know, 18, 19-year-old kids. You don't want to put the weight of the world on them and think they're coming here to be saviors and, you know, turn us into Stanley Cup contenders overnight. We got to give these kids time to grow, not only on the ice, but off the ice. It's going to be a big adjustment for them, you know, living on their own and being responsible to get up and get breakfast and have lunch and make dinner. There's a lot of stuff that goes on to it off away from the rink, and not to mention playing in the NHL and an 82-game schedule and being on the West Coast with our travel. So there's so much that goes into it, so we just need to be patient with them, make sure they're getting everything they need. Not support in the locker room. You know, we have some really good veterans here, and Cooch and Granny and Mario and Connie, these guys, to look after them. You know, Sturmey's got one of the elite work ethics in all of hockey. So to see, for them to see those guys and be around them and see how they work, but we just have to support them in the room and on the rink and, you know, off the ice in the weight room, make sure they're getting all the, you know, the sleep coaching and the nutrition work and the work in the weight room. So all that stuff, it all kind of goes into it. And I think it's my job to make sure we don't put too much pressure on them and, you know, and not demand too much of them and make sure their ice time's where it's supposed to be, make sure they're getting the proper rest and even, you know, protecting them from you guys, the media, a little bit every now and then.
Don't count me. I'm not worried.
I won't include you with that.
Please don't
the other guys.
Me. Yeah. I'm not a vulture. You mentioned the veterans, and you know, there's a lot of cap space here come free agency. Obviously, you don't know exactly what the makeup of the team is going to be, but would it be safe to say that a little more veteran presence might be important?
Yeah, no, I think for sure. We'll be a young team, but, you know, along with the guys I mentioned, we're going to definitely have to bring in a few more veteran pieces to help insulate these guys. Like I said, so these guys, they don't feel like they got the weight of the world on them to produce every single night. And even a little bit of grit and size and toughness to make sure, you know, our guys are feeling comfortable to play their game and do the things they need to do on the ice. So, yeah, we'll have to add some pieces and find the right guys. And it's, you know, it's going to be a very important summer for us to make sure we get that right and bring the right kids, right guys in around for these kids.
So some tough decisions also this offseason. You made the choice to let David Quinn go. First of all, how's the coaching search going? What can you tell us?
It was obviously a tough decision. Quinn and I go back, you know, 20-something years. But as far as the search going, yeah, we're still kind of in the middle of the process. You know, hopefully you know, the hope is to, you know, have someone in place before the draft, and so we can, you know, get their input on these free agents and stuff like that. But so far, it's been good. The people we've talked to all have interviewed well. You know, the candidates we feel really, really happy with and strongly about that they'll be able to help nurture our young group.
Is the only timeline you're comfortable giving me is before the draft?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have too much else for you on that. Like I said, hopefully it's before the draft, and so they can be involved in some of the free agent decisions we'll have to make.
There is an existing young core that actually really stepped up last season. Players like William Eklund, Fabian Zetterlund, Ty Emberson. How do you see their roles now evolving?
Yeah, I think it was a tough group. I mean, tough year for that group. But I'll add Henry in there too. I think they learned a lot about themselves. I think they learned that the league is hard. Mm-hmm. I think they all at some point went through dips in the season where they realized that it's every night's hard and the schedule's hard and how to take care of themselves. So, I expect them all to keep growing and keep taking steps. I think all four of those guys have some leadership qualities to them. And that was part of the message with those guys, that it's, while we have Cooch and Pickles and Mario and Granny and Cunny, we have some veterans, but it's okay for those guys to start stepping up and grabbing a little bit of the leadership role as well.
You mentioned Timo and Eric. This was the season that Tomas Hertl became a Golden Knight. I'm wondering if, and even the decision to change coaches, do these take emotional tolls on you as well? Like, is that part of your learning curve?
Yeah, I mean, it's, Tomas was tough. The other moves we had to make beforehand were almost necessary mm-hmm. things and part of the process, but moving on from someone who's such a good person as Tomas, not to mention the hockey player, but that was difficult. And the coaches' staff, they put in a lot of time over these 2 years. We spent a lot of time together and talking together, and like I said, Quinny and I go back over 20 years, and that, from the end of the season till when we made that decision, it's I wasn't sleeping or feeling good, and it's a part of the business that you know is there. I've fortunate enough to have my dad and my brother to bounce things off, but until you actually go through it, I think, and actually have to deal with how bad you feel, but it's part of the job, and it's kind of the human side of it. It's hard, especially, see Tomasco and how much he meant to the group, and how much I enjoyed working with him, and Quinny, and there's a human side to it, and those guys have families and people to look after, so you don't feel great doing it, that's mm-hmm. for sure, but it's all part of the job.
Is there anything specific that your dad and your brother offered you, I guess, even during this past season, like how to get through a season that has so many ups and downs?
I think the main thing was just to believe in what we're doing and believe in whatever decisions you have to make. If you feel you need to do something that's best for the organization, then that's what you have to do. The well-being of the team and the organization always comes first over, whatever, personal or emotional mm-hmm. feelings you might have.
So in summation, the future by all appearances looks bright. What would you say to the fans in anticipation of next season?
Well, first I'd like to thank them because I appreciate that they've stuck by us through, it's been two difficult years of, not a lot of winning and some tough nights to go through, but the fans have been there for us. So I appreciate that and thank them for that. And I think there's brighter days ahead. There's obviously some excitement, but But to stick with us, there's going to be some bumps in the road, and it's not all going to go smoothly, or not going to go all as we envision. It's not going to be just straight rocket ship to the top. There's going to be some bumps along the road, and you know, if they can just stick with us, I think we're headed in the right direction, and you know, there's good things ahead.
Certainly feels like that. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that does it for this season, but hey, stay tuned. There may be some bonus episodes in the not-so-distant future. Regardless, next season is really right around the corner. Hockey never seems to stop. I want to thank Mike profusely for joining us. It really wasn't easy to find a time. He is that busy. I want to take this opportunity to thank everybody at the Sharks who has made this pod possible. Sharks president Jonathan Becker. I want to thank Doug Bentz, Scott Emmert, and especially Ted Ramey. Ted gets this thing edited and onto the World Wide Web every couple of weeks. Ted, thank you for your teamwork, your sense of humor, your patience. Really, thank you so much. And of course, all of you out there, thank you for listening. For those of you who pay attention to my social media, you may know now that I'm actually moving back to Canada this month. It was a tough decision. I really love it here, but it was one I had to make for my family. So I won't be located in the Bay anymore, but I'll be back plenty of times. And you know how the saying goes, once a shark, always a shark. So you most certainly have not heard the last of me, I promise. I'm not going to let that happen. I have fallen in love with this team just too much. So I'm not going to leave it behind. I want you all to have a great summer. I hope you don't have too much teal withdrawal. It's tough when hockey stops, but it'll be back soon enough. So I will talk to you very soon. And you know what I'm going to say. In the meantime, keep your sticks on the ice and your fins above water. Take care, everybody.